Start today the Torah way in Northwest London, Tuesday, 11th of Nisan, 12th of April, Rabbi Aaron Hirsch, Lita, the day of speeches. This week's Torah way is sponsored by family Berkovitz, Linishmas Rav Avram Doibin Rav Moshe Dov, Zichron Rocha, the late Diane Beryl Berkovitz.
And that is Shleishinu es Shemon Lashonam and Malbushom, that they did not alter their names, their language, and their dress. And that was the reason for the redemption. And the idea is that a nation that does not yet have the mitzvahs, so it will be based more on the externals rather than on the observance of mitzvahs, because this is what differentiates them from the mitzrim. They did not change Shmom, Lashonim, and Malbushom. Great line. It doesn't exist in the Medrash. Medrash doesn't say that. The Medrash, there are a couple of different sources, but the essence of the Medrash is fourfold. It does have that they did not change Shemom and Lashonam. Malbushom does not appear until the period of the Rishonim, where we find this mentioned. And instead, there is the fact that they did not speak Lashon Hara, and that they were Godur, they were very particular in the case of Arayos. And we know that there are two markers, so to speak, for a people remaining pure. The first is what we call assimilation, and the second is intermarriage. If you look at the American experience at the moment, you will see that both of them unfortunately exist there to quite a degree, and that is the reason why, having in 1945 6 million Jews in America, there should nowadays be 30 million, and in actual fact, there are 5.5 million. In other words, there are less Jews now in the United States than there were 80 years ago, for the simple reason that there is assimilation and intermarriage. When it comes to Mitzrayim, in terms of assimilation, they were unsuccessful, because we know that they were on the 49th level of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah means complete identification with the culture and the zeitgeist of the surrounding society. So in that sense, in the sense of assimilation, it was a disaster. But in terms of intermarriage, they were godur, they were very particular and very much able to overcome this Yetzer Hara. And therefore, in terms of that, it was a reason for the Geula. But we don't find it as previously expressed. And the truth is, we need to understand why these particular ones, we understand the Goldur of Arayos, but why those other three were those that created the key for redemption for Geula. Secondly, in Avodim Ayinu, we mention the fact that had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not taken us out of Mitzrayim, which historically is a very unlikely proposition. The idea that 3,300 years later, had there not been a miraculous Yetzias Mitzrayim, somehow we would still have been there as Avodim, just by the idea that there would still actually be an Egyptian empire that lasted through, irrespective of what would have happened to Klal Yisrael. The idea that there would have been an ongoing power this many years later is extremely unlikely. What do we mean when we say that had their ilu lehoitzi, had Akadosh Baruch Hu not taken us out? So, what we need to define is Golus Mitzrayim, not just from a physical perspective, but understand the actual source, the makor of Ruchni Avdus and Shibud that was taking place. And many of the Svarim tell us that the way to define Golus Mitzrayim was as a Golus Hadibur, an exile of speech. I mean, famously, we know that on more than one occasion, Moshe Rabbeinu does not want to undertake the leadership of the mission of getting Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, because he says, and the Aral Tzvasayim, Kvad Peh, Kvad Lashoin, all of these expressions, which seem initially to indicate a physical speech defect on some level, but this really is an indication of a far deeper idea, and that is that Moshe Rabbeinu said, I cannot bring Klal Yisrael out because I cannot be the person who conveys Dibur to Paro. Since the whole purpose is that V'yodu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem, there has to be an understanding, there has to be a yediyah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I will tell Paro that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent me, he is going to reject the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, which is exactly what happened. In Parashat Shmos, Paro says, who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And therefore, the concept of Moshe in the land of Tumah being able to create an awareness through Dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Kedusha, is what Moshe said is an impossibility, to the degree that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're right, V'anochi eye impicho, I will provide Dibur. You on your own will not be able to do so. I have to give Dibur because at the moment there is a Golus HaDibur. And Kodesh Baruch Hu follows this up by saying, Daber al Paroi kol asher ani dover elecha. It is only as a result of the Dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there can be a pathway to Yetzias Mitzrayim, because at this moment in time there is a complete inability to use speech to achieve Geula. What is speech? Anything that we think about starts in the realm of Machshava. Machshava is the first part of the process that differentiates the human being from any other element of Bria, in that we can formulate a thought, a philosophy, an ideology, an idea. It starts with Machshava. But if a person is an Eved, it cannot express itself beyond the realm of Machshava. It cannot be translated into Dibur, because an Eved is not able to speak out. An Eved is not able to go outside of themselves. They're not able, so to speak, to plan for the future. There is no public expression to an eved. And this does not only mean an eved from a physical perspective, but somebody who's completely meshubbed to society, somebody whose way of life is almost dictated to them by the environment in which they live, they can be said to be part of Golus HaDibur, because they are not able to express an alternate idea. They are unable to be megale, to reveal a different approach to life. And therefore, they are confined. And hence the idea that had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not taken us out of Mitzrayim, we would have been meshubbed, even though Pare would have been long gone, even though we would no longer possibly have been living geographically in Egypt. It is the idea that our way of life, our process, our ideology would not have changed from that of the host society in which we lived. We would have been mitzuva va'omed to the culture of the world and the Avodah Zorah which it contains. That is the shibud that we celebrate our Yetzia from all these years later, because it would have been every bit as much true today as it was originally back then, had there not been a clarity of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and that at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dibur, bidvar Hashem, shomayim nasu. That dibur could only emerge as a result of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because in Mitzrayim it had been completely covered up, and it required the Esem Makus in order to reveal the Asara Mamoris, that which completely created the world Yesh Me'ayin, and which gave all, every element of the world, every molecule in the world, its chiyus. It needed to be understood that there is nothing in this world other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the Yodu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem, and it had to be understood not just by Klal Yisrael, but by the world at large. Because Dibur, the Dvar Hashem, was in Golus, and it needed to be revealed, it needed to emerge. And hence, the idea mentioned by the Emor of Hashemesh, that Parah, who set himself up as an Avodah Zorah, Li Yo'iri V'ani Asasini, I am the one who created, this ideological shibud, the word Parah, can be read as Peh Ra. The very formulation of everything that Pari said was the opposite of a Hakara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And hence, famously, Reb Chaim Vital writes in the name of the Ari that our Yom Tov is the opposite of Peh Ra, because it's Peh Sach. It is, we are now able to speak, and therefore Kol HaMarbe HaRezem Shubach, you become a greater individual through Dibur, because you are actually creating Yetzias Mitzrayim at this very moment by using Dibur to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence into revelation. And therefore, the Maisa that we have with the five Tanoim, until what point? Until the Talmidim said that Kriya Shma Shel Shachris has been achieved. There are two occasions in the day that we say Shema, one in the morning and one in the evening as a mitzvah d'oraisa, but the one at night, when we say Hashem Elokeichem Emes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the sum total of reality, it is followed with the words Ve'emunah, Ve'emunah Kol Zos. Whereas during the daytime, when we say exactly the same thing, it's V'yatziv V'nochein V'kayom. What's the difference between the two? At night, the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reality is an article of faith. Ve'emunah. We don't necessarily see it. It is quite hidden. whereas in daylight, the clarity that is there is obvious. And what the Talmidim were saying, they didn't just say, you know, you've already spoken about Yetzias Mitzrayim all night long, it's time to bench, time to end the Seder. This wasn't a matter of the fact that it is now alois or nates. What they were saying to the Tanoim is that what has been achieved through Mesaprim Kol Oysa HaLayla is an absolute clarity that Hashem Elokeichem Emes. That it's now not only true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the reality, but that it's visible. That the Golos HaDibur in that dir has been pushed back. And therefore, Avraham Avinu is the one who starts this threefold process of what we could call machshava. Meaning, he is the one who understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists and that everything in this world has a purpose. A famous medrash about him seeing the palace, which is on fire, Mihitzis, who is the one who set light to it. And there's an inherent understanding, but it is kept to himself because he's Avram Ho'ivri. This machshava process then continues to a dibur at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim and culminates in Maisa at Matan Torah, when we say Nasa V'Nishma, that not only will there be a public awareness of through Klal Yisrael of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, but it will translate into everything that we do in our lives. And this is really how we relate to the episode in Parshas Chukas, where Moshe Rabbeinu is told to speak to the rock and hits it. Bearing in mind that in Parshas B'Shalach, 39 years earlier, he is told to hit the rock. But now, the speech, the dibur, needs to be inherent. Klal Yisrael need to understand that every element of Bria is actually meshubad to dibur, and therefore speaking to the rock will already achieve the gilui required. When that doesn't happen, even though it's a tremendous miracle to get water out of a rock by hitting it, but Moshe Rabbeinu is told, yan lehemantem bi lahakdisheni. There was a level of revelation that was missed by doing the miracle this way rather than the original way. This is all from a perspective of machshava, and this also explains why Leishinu es Shemom and Leshoinom was so important, because it is the speech. It doesn't mean necessarily that they only spoke Lashon Kodesh. What it means is that the speech that they used was a speech that enabled there to be a gilu of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And hence, why it was when Moshe Rabbeinu tells the two Jews who are fighting in Parsha Shmos, Rosh, Lama Sachar Re'echo, why are you raising your hand against a fellow Jew? And the Jew answers by saying, Hala Horgeni Ata Omer, are you also going to kill me through Omer, through speech, which is how he killed the Mitzri? And Moshe says, Ochei Noida Hadova. The matter is obviously known, says Rashi. They speak Lashon Hara. Why is, and Rashi goes on to say that Moshe expressed a doubt, how will they ever achieve Yetzias Mitzrayim if they speak Lashon Hara? If speech is being degraded, if it is being abused, since the whole of Golus is Dibur, how are they going to achieve Yetzias Mitzrayim if they are engaged in Lashon Hara? On a practical level, we normally relate to the power of speech from a negative perspective. Lashon Hara is so powerful, it can kill somebody at the other end of the world. It can destroy a whole family. It can destroy a kehillah, because speech is so powerful. Occasionally, we also relate to speech as powerful when we think about tefillah. That any gezeira that has been, the ability to speak, the ability to daven, forestalls the absolute outcome of this gezeira taking place. But here, on Pesach, what we are being told is that there's a power through the dibur of an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. That this yontif is a yontif where speech is elevated, where we have an opportunity to use dibur to make ourselves a keli of great kedusha. Harei zeh meshubach refers to the individual, not to what he is doing. And therefore, in the same way as the Gemara tells us that hanosin pruto la'oni, somebody who gives the stoka, he is zeuche to six brachas, but hamafaisai, somebody who comforts the oni, is zeuche to 11 brachas. Because dibur has a tremendous element to it, within it, and particularly at this time of year, positive dibur achieves a tremendous amount, and we don't just mean dibur in the sense of being engaged in limud Torah and tefillah, but positive speech at this moment rolls back the effects of godless hadibur. And it's interesting that when it comes to the end of Yom Tov, seventh day of Yom Tov, we know that that's when Shira takes place. So, the Mitzrayim are crossing the Yam Suf, and the Malachim want to say Shira. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, it's inappropriate. Ma'ase Yodai Tovim Bayam Va'atim Omrim Shira. So they don't say Shira. 10 minutes later, Klal Yisrael says Shira. First the men, then the women. And this Shira is so central that it is actually incorporated into everyday Shacharis. What's the difference between us and the Malachim? So there are two types of Shira to be said on such an occasion. One is a triumphant, a victorious Shira over the fact that the enemy is destroyed. That is what the Malachim wanted to say from the perspective that they had. And that was inappropriate when there was death going on, even though the death was that of Roshoyim. But from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, this was not the time to do so. The Gemara discusses, are we only talking about, we normally say, Bavoid Roshoyim Rina, are we talking only about Jews, non-Jews, but either way, for one reason or another, that element of Shira was incorrect. But there's a different Shira that emerges when one goes through this experience, and that is an awareness, a gratitude of and for life. And the concept of Shira, as the Mishnah in Shabbos tells us, that Behema Yotzeis B'Shir, Shir is a ring. Shira is what is said when there is a complete circle that has been completed, and the perspective is of a 360-degree experience, so to speak. Shira is when there is awareness. That can be said by the people who go through it, not by a third party, not by the Malachim. The people who experience the Geula, who now are aware of something that until now they had not been. That comes when they come out of Avdus and when they now realize that they can express themselves. Viktor Frankl writes in Man's Search for Meaning that initially, when there was the liberation, the first thing that people did was they ate, but they didn't yet speak. Speech eventually came to them. Somebody who is a slave is mute, is unable to express the fact that they are alive. This expression follows eventually when the concept of Chairus, when the concept of the closure of Abdus occurs, and this is what it is incumbent upon us to do. The concept of speech filters through to the idea of being aware that we are alive, and the gratitude and the responsibility that follows from the fact that we have life, what we are going to achieve with it. And there is a very interesting Haftarah that should have been said on Shabbos, were it not for the fact that it were Shabbos HaGadol. In fact, it's interesting that we say the Haftarah that we do for Shabbos HaGadol in Chazal, meaning in Shas. There is no mention of Shabbos HaGadol, nor in the times of the Goenim. First time we come across it is in the times of the Rishonim. Possibly the first source is the Oros HaRuach, who asks what Haftarah we should actually be saying on Shabbos HaGadol. Either way, there is a Haftarah of Metzorah, which follows on almost directly from the Haftarah of Tazria. In Tazria, we know that Naaman, the chief of staff of Aram, had tzaras, and he comes to Elisha. Elisha tells him to tovel in the Yarden, and he emerges perfectly cured, and he wants to give Elisha something, a reward for what he has done, and Elisha refuses because the Kiddush Hashem will be diminished by there being a transaction that seems to almost buy the Kiddush Hashem. Yet Gehazi and his three sons, they succumb to the temptation, and they go and ask Naaman for a reward, which he gives them. When Elisha realizes, he curses Naaman and his three sons that they should become Metzorah. We therefore open Parshas, the Haftarah of Metzorah, with Varbo Anoshim Hoyu Metzorah. What is going on? They are in the Shomron. They are part of the 10 tribes rather than the 2 tribes. In fact, Elio and Elisha, their Nevuah was addressed to the Malchai Yisrael, not Malchai Yehuda. And there is a siege going on. Aram has raised the siege against Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael are slowly being starved out of existence. These 4 people are outside of the camp because they, as Metzoraim, are not allowed into the Machane. They are dying of hunger, and they say to themselves, we may as well go into the camp of Aram. If they kill us, we're no worse off than we are at the moment, essentially. And if we live, so, that's excellent. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls this there to be a miracle that the Machne of Aram, when he hears them coming, thinks that Klal Yisrael has hired mercenaries from Mitzrayim, from the Chitti, and they flee. And these people walk into a completely deserted camp. The sus is osur, the horse is still tethered, and the donkey is still saddled, but ain ish, ain koil. There's nobody around. So what do? The first thing they do is they eat. And then they say to each other, this is wrong. Loichin anachno isim. This is the wrong thing that we're doing today. Because yom b'seirahu v'anachnu machashim. This is a day of, so to speak, good tidings, and we are keeping it to ourselves. It's incorrect what we are doing. And therefore they go and tell Klal Yisrael. And by now, reversing the issue, they had understood until now, they basically have to take care of themselves. They now understand that the world is in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's hands, and from one moment to the next, there can be a mapecha, which is completely unforeseen, which is impossible to foresee. And therefore, they declare this as a Yom B'Seirah. This is exactly what we do, or we have the responsibility to do, over the Yontem. To make it a Yom B'Seirah. A day when we speak out. A day where we move away from the idea that, you know, everything's in place. The camp is there, even the tents are pitched. Everything is worked. We live in a completely mechanized world, which runs on its own fuel, so to speak. We have to take a position which is diametrically opposed to that. That the world does not run on its own. The world only runs because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to run. And from one moment to the next, everything can change because of Ratzon Hashem. We have to reverse the concept of Godus Hadibur, where we look to editorials in newspapers to work out what's going to happen tomorrow. It is not in the hands of the Daily Telegraph or of the Times, and for sure not of the Daily Mirror, to decide what is going to happen. No one knew what tomorrow would bring for the last 2 years during COVID. No one knows what tomorrow is going to bring in terms of what's happening in the Ukraine. All of these things come out of nowhere. Both of them are events that were completely unforeseen. And both of them will be resolved because HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. That is the avoda that we have on Pesach. To understand, to see that Dibur is a Dibur that has to relate purely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Bidvar Hashem Shomayim Nasu. To understand that that is what was absent in Mitzrayim. And that, as they put it, there is no sound of people speaking out and speaking up. This is what we have to reverse. Just to finish with one very last small point, and that is when the Tribuna Rov was in Siberia, in Sverdlovsk, so people somehow managed occasionally to send him questions. And at one stage he was sent a question that there were two people who between them had one kazayas of matzah. And the question that they asked was, should they split it between them? Neither of them will be yotz the chiyuv, but at least both of them will be able to make a bracha over this, even though they won't make a lachidas matzah, but they'll be able to make a moitzi at least over it. Or should one person alone be yotz? And he was nispoil with the fact that people are involved in asking these questions. In other words, that this dibur had not been silenced even through their experiences and even through what they were going through in their golus in the Second World War. So if you want to hear the answer, you're going to have to hear my podcast on the Haggadah, which is coming out in the next few days. But it's in the Dovev Misharim in Chelik Beis that he discusses it. But the very fact that there was a dibur being posed as a question, and the formula for questions is very much one that is central to this time of year. Because even if there are two Talmidei Chachamim in the room, we are told one should ask and one should answer. The question itself already reveals a pushing back of Godless Hadidah.